السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا مرحبا. A warm and hearty welcome to the program Covered Pearls with me, Zakira Antonia. This is a Monday afternoon, and yes, it's time for me to spend the next hour in your company, inshallah. Well, we are hours away from the Hajj journey for the Hujjaj that have gone to Mecca to Mukarrama, and you know, they've taken their time, they've taken their effort, they've, you know, sacrificed their money, their wealth, their health and everything. And the climax is when it all starts tomorrow, and we are merely hours away from that. Can you but feel the excitement in the air? Can you imagine what it must be like to be there with them? Inshallah, you won't have to wait much longer, as tonight we start, Radio Islam International will start its official Hajj broadcast, so you will be able to hear from the Hujjaj, from Azizia and surrounds live, inshallah. So stay tuned to Radio Islam as we plan to bring you the best Hajj broadcast ever. So inshallah, that's what you can expect later on today. For this program though, what can you expect? Well, we will be speaking about a little about how we that are here on this side of the world, that haven't been chosen to be the Yuf al-Rahman this year, that haven't been chosen to be the servants of Allah, and haven't gone on the Hajj, how can we make these few days that we have left of this blessed 10 days, how can we make the most of them? So yes, that's what we're going to be speaking about. But as we start off every program of Covered Pearls, there needs to be that motivation and inspiration, that link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we need to once again rebuild, and nothing gets closer to rebuilding that link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than if we open up the Quran al-Kareem and we draw from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and see what he wants from us, from this beautiful Quran. So inshallah, we will start off the program from Surah Nur today, and today's ayah that we will be starting off with will be ayah 56, inshallah. So that's what you can expect after the ad break. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And as I mentioned to you before the break, now we will be going into Surah Nur, the surah that we take inspiration from on a weekly basis here on the program Covered Pearls. And that you were hearing before the break, by the way, was our father's tribute. Yes, with Ibrahim alayhi salam being in the spotlight this Dhul Hijjah, what we have done is we've asked you to write on your father, that special man in your life that made life so much different for you, that allowed you to be the Muslim or the Muslima that you are. So yes, inshallah, as you can hear, the entries are flowing in. Please be sure to send in your entry as well, so that you may win those lovely prizes that are up for grabs. Going back then, inshallah, now for our inspiration from Surah Nur. Today we have two short, concise ayat, but inshallah I'm hoping that we can draw many lessons from these two ayah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, wa aqimu as-salah wa atu az-zakah wa ati'u ar-rasul la'allakum turhamun. Sadaqallahu al-azim. That is the first ayah. And in this first ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that we need to pray salah, we need to give our zakah, and we need to obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that we may be shown mercy, so that we may receive this mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now often when we come across ayat where Allah says, and establish salah and give zakah, we know what it means, right? Praying salah and giving zakah are from those things that we've been taught from a very young and tender age. Going to maktab madrasa, you learn what praying your salah is, you learn what giving zakah is. So basically most of us feel that it's something that I know. But when we really look at the deeper recesses of what this ayah means, now we really understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. So let's take a closer look. Allah says, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَىٰ. Establish your salah, my dear servants. So for the sister out there, and when I normally say sisters on this program, it's because the predominant target audience of this program is female. So therefore my message out there is mostly for the sisters. So my dear sister out there, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَىٰ, He's actually telling us that we need to pray our salah on time. How many of us have actually got into that habit? How many of us can truly and honestly say that I pray my salah on a daily basis on time, 5 times a day? And indeed, in this time like this, when it is, like a mini Ramadan that we are calling this 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, 9 days before the day of Eid, the 10th, then what we are actually doing is trying to inculcate good habits into us, habits that will, inshallah, stay with us. So that's the inspiration that we can take from this ayah today. Allah is reminding us once again that make sure you keep up with your salah, not just praying it, but praying it properly, on time, praying the way it ought to be prayed. When we establish something, what we're really saying is that we are fulfilling its every right. So indeed, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to us about establishing our salah, this is what he is reminding us about. As believers, we need to be fulfilling every right of our salah. And then Allah reminds us, atu zakah. When Allah speaks to us about fulfilling the zakah, now we all understand that there is the fard zakah that needs to be fulfilled. But over and above this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also reminding us here about our sadaqah, about the voluntary charity that we need to give. Over and above that, Allah is reminding us about every other monetary kind of charity. For example, the qurbani that we will be doing. So even for the sister out there, if you are by the means, my dear sister, and you know when it came to Ramadan and predominantly we give out our zakah in Ramadan without generalization, that is, some may give it at other months of the year. What I mentioned was that as a sister, as a Muslimah, we should try and save up so that when it comes to the month of zakah, the month of Ramadan, we are ready to give off our zakah from our own wealth so that we don't need to rely on our husbands. My message to you, sister, is the same in this month of Dhul Hijjah. Yes, our qurbani, our sacrifices will be accepted by Allah if we allow our husbands to pay for them. But why not pay from our own side for our qurbani? After all, don't we want this reward exclusively for ourselves? When Allah speaks about His jannat and He describes to us its beauty, don't we feel enamored that this is the Jannah that I want because of the actions that I did myself? So indeed, let's try. There are still a few days, 2 days left before we can make up that money and tell our husbands. And subhanAllah, it's so easy because Allah has even made it so much easier for us by enabling us to slaughter either on the 10th, 11th or the 12th. So even if you can make up that wealth right until the last day, the 12th, make sure you try and fulfill your qurbani on your own. This is what Allah means when He tells us about our zakah, our monetary charities. And then Allah reminds us and He says, وَعَطِيُوا الرَّسُولِ. Not only are you obliged or obligated to fulfill your responsibilities towards Allah, but your obligations towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is something that is of paramount importance too. This is something that you will be questioned about second. After you're questioned about your deeds towards Allah, you will be questioned about your obligation towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How is it that we can recite the kalima and say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and disregard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's sunnah? May Allah grant us the ability to keep the priority of the sunnah in our lives so high that we remember in every act of our lives that it is important for us to carry out the sunnah of this act. Sleeping, eating, visiting the toilet, visiting our relatives, whatever it may be, they are sunnah and adab, things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did in every act of our life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to act upon these, inshallah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala follows up this ayah with something that really should make us tremble a bit. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now speaks about the disbelievers, but like I always tell you that sometimes we need to look at what Allah is saying about the disbelievers and ask ourselves that do we have qualities that sometimes reflect these warnings that Allah is giving the disbelievers? What does Allah say in the next ayah? And we will be concluding with this ayah, inshallah. Allah says, Bismillah, لا تحسبن الذين كفروا معجزين في الأرض ومأواهم النار ولا بئس المصير. Allah says, do not consider the disbelievers that they will be able to escape. They won't be able to escape on this earth. Escape what? Escape the punishment of Allah. Why? Because ma'wahum, their abode. And when we speak about a ma'wa, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about that abode, that dwelling place, that place that will be for them for eternity. What will this place be? An-nar, the fire, Allah says. وَلَا بِئْسَ الْمَصِيرِ. And Allah concludes it by saying, how worst is their destination indeed. How bad is their destination indeed. Now when we think about this, when Allah speaks about feeling that we will be able to escape, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually is reminding us of is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that as much as we feel that the actions that we do on this earth, sometimes we may live in this false notion. And the disbelievers, ya Allah says, live in this false notion that they won't be questioned, that they won't be taken to task, that they will be allowed to do as they please, when they please, where and how they please. May Allah save us from ever having this false notion, because indeed Allah is alimul ghaib wa shahada. Allah sees our very every action. Allah is observant of our every deed. There is no deed that goes unchecked by Allah. Allah has left with us two guardians, night and day, the malaika that sit on our shoulders, the kiram and katibin, writing down our every deed, good and bad. How then is it possible that we can think we will be mu'ajizeen? How then is it possible that we can think we will be able to escape from this punishment of Allah? May Allah save us, may Allah save us, may Allah save us from having these qualities of these disbelievers who think that they will be able to escape. You know, sometimes the thought crosses my mind, and I'm sure with many of you listeners, with many of you sisters out there too, that you know when we are at a destination, a foreign place perhaps, we feel that, oh, nobody knows me here, so maybe I can let down my guard a little bit. And this is a thought that probably crosses many of our minds, you know, from time to time. But this is the time when we need to remind ourselves that even here, when I'm at a place where I think that nobody knows me, and I am unidentifiable, then I need to remind myself that there is an Allah in the heavens that is still watching me, that my Creator that is recording my every deed is still present. How then, you know, the lament is that, how then can I possibly think that I can do what I want as I please? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to take true understanding from these ayat and to be able to put it into our lives, put it into practice in our lives, and become inspired and motivated. And inshallah, we will conclude with that, with Surah Nur for today. And you can expect more from Surah Nur in next week's program, inshallah. Now I have a few minutes left before I need to go for an ad break, but inshallah what I plan to share with you in these few minutes that I have left, 3 or 4 odd minutes, is how we can then spend, you know, on having left it at that high now, where we really have understood that we have Allah by our side, that we have Allah present with us all the time, how then can we spend these next few days maximizing on the ibadah, maximizing on these days of Dhul Hijjah, these days that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken a qasam, an oath by in the Quran. And I've mentioned this to you in last week's program. And so we're not going to dwell too much on the virtue of these days, but rather, inshallah, I'm going to share with you a few similarities that we who haven't been asked to who haven't been invited to be the Dhuyuf al-Rahman this year, how we can imitate the Dhuyuf al-Rahman. We who haven't been called and invited to be the guest of Allah in the lands of Mina, Muzdalifah and Arafah to be Hujjaj this year, how can we imitate the Hujjaj? Firstly, there's obviously the action that the Hujjaj will be doing. They will be, once they enter the Ihram tomorrow morning, inshallah, there will be no clipping of the nails, trimming of the hair, all of that. So we have been trying to emulate them from the first of Dhul Hijjah already by keeping, not trimming our nails, not clipping our hair, not doing any of that. And by doing that, by completing this mustahab act, we've already started imitating them. The next thing that we will be doing is, they have the act of the talbiyah that they need to put into practice from tomorrow. They are saying, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, my Allah, I am present. And they are repeating this and they will be chanting this over and over. What is it that we will be doing? From the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, from the morning after Fajr on the day of Arafah, we have been asked to recite the Takbir Tashriq. They are going to be saying that they are present and reminding themselves that they are present in those blessed lands, hence spurring themselves on to do the best of actions. We who are at home will be reminding ourselves of the greatness of the days that we are in. And what is it that we will be reminding ourselves about? We will be reminding ourselves that, inshallah, these are days that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked us to treasure, has asked us to make the most of. So we will be saying, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallahu, Allahu Akbar. We will be chanting these words, reminding ourselves of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by chanting these words and repeating these verses over and over again, we've asked to do this after every fard salah. By doing this, we will be reminded of the greatness of these days and how we are supposed to be spending them in the dhikr of Allah. What does Allah ask the Hujjaj? He says that once they are complete, then they should remember Allah in a most intense form, more than their forefathers. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds them, oh, ashadda dhikra, or even more than what your forefathers remembered me. So when Allah says this, He's actually saying this for us too. We are, that haven't gone for the actual journey of Hajj, but we are still in these days of Dhul Hijjah. Let's take it upon us to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these days far more than we ever have been doing. And lastly, let's look at the actual act of Udhiyah. Subhanallah, it is mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sacrificed 100 camels in this farewell Hajj. When we look at this number and we ask ourselves, what does 100 signify? And we are reminded that the number 100 signifies the deer, signifies blood money. Now, I'm not going to go into too much detail because of the lack of time, but if you read up what blood money is all about, you will realize that in the Islamic Sharia, if any person is killed, then in lieu of this one life, we give 100 camels. Now, if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam slaughtered 100, he was trying to show us something, that this act of slaughter is an act, the ulama tell us, of signifying giving our life. Go back, step back into history and ask yourself, where did it all start? Ismail alayhi salam was to be sacrificed, wasn't he? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in lieu of his khalil, wanting to sacrifice this life of his son, he was willing to do it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him this option, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rather gave him this commandment, and he was willing to do it. He was willing to show Allah that he was ready to sacrifice his son. And in lieu of sacrificing this one life, Allah sent down a ram. And by us sacrificing this one animal, we receive the same reward as sacrificing those 100. Why? Because this was signifying, the Prophet ﷺ was showing us here that it's all about sacrifice. Even sacrificing this one animal of Udhiyah, this one animal of Qurbani, even this one sacrifice will give us this reward of 100 if done with the correct intention, if done with this openness of heart, if done with this clarity of intention, sincerity of intention, and solely and only to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, yes Allah, I am doing this to show you my submission to you. I am doing this to show you that this act of mine, I am doing it to show you that I will sacrifice everything for you, even if it is my own life that I need to sacrifice. And obviously by my own life, what I mean is the sacrifice of my nafs, the sacrifice of my shahawat, the sacrifice of my desires, the sacrifice of my vain and base needs, and the lusts and the passions and whatever it may be that drives me to act upon my sin and my evil within me, that shaitan spurs on within me. This is what I am sacrificing for you, Ya Allah. And in these days to come, I will show you that in my every action, I will put a blade to my nafs and my desires, and I will sacrifice it all solely and only for your pleasure. My respected listeners, I now need to go for an ad break. This brings us to the end of our motivational segment of the program. When we return, we conclude our virtual ziyarah that we started off about 6 weeks ago. And then to conclude the program in our final segment is our female messiah. So all that and much more coming up after the ad break.
True success requires sacrifice. Hundreds of thousands of Muslims belonging to different nationalities and races, drawn from all walks of life, the rich and the poor, the princes and the slaves, the doctor and the mechanic, the ruled and the ruling, all gather together in Hajj as equals. They all wear the same clothes, recite the same phrases, labaik Allahumma labaik, are shoulder to shoulder in similar lines during tawaf, walking around the holy Kaaba, while performing the sa'i between Safa and Marwa, and while pelting stones on the same besides standing together at the five daily prayers.
Radio Islam, shedding light on the sacrifices of Ibrahim alayhi salam.
Al Tawheed Islamic Center Kurbani 2015. A grade animals available from 1,500. You may slaughter with us for your own consumption or donate the meat for distribution. We distribute meat parcels to poor and indigenous Muslims at various of our centers across Gauteng, Mpumalanga, and the Northwest. All proceeds will go to upgrade the Wheeler's Farm Masjid and Madrasa. Banking details as follows: Standard Bank account number 202-566-889, branch 015-137, reference Kurbani. For more information, call 011-854-9510 or visit us at the Trade Route Mall shop number L31 next to Celsi.
Sedges, situated in Vereeniging, your one-stop family shop. Get up to 35% off youthful, casual and kiddies branded clothing. For the lovers of functional art, try our Carol Boys range. Look at our exquisite furniture and linen department, tasteful furniture, decor and advice to matching linen and curtains. Treat yourself to the beauty of designer jewelry, watches, sunglasses, and formal wear to suit your taste. Sedgers, your original family store, where personal service is guaranteed.
Sunbeam Steel, suppliers of all steel products. For carports, gates, burglar-proofing, fencing, reinforcing steel mesh, and all your structural steel. We also stock roof sheeting in galvanized polycarbonate and fiberglass. For that fantastic rail deal, contact Sunbeam Steel. Situated at Main Clip River Road, Akenhof. Call us on 011-948-6011 or 6013 or 011-948-7905. Hikmatul Awam Pilgrim Services. Call our KZN office on 031-207-4410. Hikmatul Awam, making Hajj and Umrah possible at affordable prices.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is the program Covered Pearls, and you're with me, Zakira Ansarneer. Yes, alhamdulillah, as I was saying before the break, we are merely hours away from the Hajj to begin, and subhanallah, it is so exciting. Even right here in South Africa, or wherever it may be in the world that you are, even if you're not on the actual journey of Hajj, the excitement is palpable, because indeed, for those of us that have been, alhamdulillah, you know what it feels like to be a few hours away from embarking on your journey of Hajj. You know, there's so much of excitement in the air, but at the same time, there's this anxiousness that you want to fulfill every rule and regulation just the way it is supposed to be done. Complete every sunnah and every fard and everything that
anyone has told you, you possibly read anywhere, you want to do it all and you want to remember everyone's names in your du'as, and you know, you just want it to be a perfect hajj. And inshallah, our du'as are that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such for the hujjaj that are in the haramain and that will be embarking on the journey of hajj tomorrow. Well, for those of us that are here at home, these are the days of fasting and qiyam. So, ibadah by day and ibadah by night. And inshallah, by so doing, we shall be reaping the great rewards that there are for these ibadah. As yes, these are the 10 days that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in Surah Al-Fajr. So indeed, 10 most meritorious days. So let's keep that in mind. Now what you can expect in the next few segments, this one and the one that follows this inshallah, is today we will be concluding, yes, we will be concluding our virtual ziyarah that I've been taking you through for the past 6 weeks or so. So today we will be concluding that, and then in the last segment we will speak about the rules and regulations with regards to the act of adhiya and qurbani and the sacrifice inshallah. So if any female has any queries and questions with regard that, you can send me your email on the email address za@radioislamlive.com or simply drop me a message on the number 061-406-2688. So then, let's go into the last chapter of our virtual ziyarah. Today we start off with the tour. This is a valley in Mecca that exists only by name today because it has become part of a large settlement. It derived its name from the Tuwa wall in the Jarwal district. And the significance of this area is that Rasulullah ﷺ once spent a night here, took a bath with the water of the well, and the next morning he then performed Salah here. Thereafter he entered Mecca, and this incident is narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari. It was therefore the practice of Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu to spend a night here and then proceed to Mecca after taking a bath, as this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did, he would say. A masjid has been constructed at the place near the wall where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam performed salah. Mention is made of this in a narration in Sahih Muslim as well. And Fakihir, a historian, has also stated that the masjid is on the right-hand side of the road when going towards the Tuwa wall. It is also close to a well, and this masjid was in existence until recent times when it eventually was demolished. Although the Tuwa well is still in existence, and in the Jarwal district opposite the Wilada Hospital and behind the newly built Jafiri building. So yes, this is where you can find the Tuwa area. The next we will be speaking about is the Canal of Zubaydah. Now this is something very popular, something you may have heard about many a time. And alhamdulillah, because the listeners of this program are mostly female, this is actually a very interesting snippet for you to listen to, my dear sisters. This canal was built by Zubaydah, who was the wife of the Abbasi Khalifa Harun al-Rashid, who passed away in 174 after Hijrah. This canal is located 36 kilometers from Mecca in the Hunain Valley. It begins at Wadi Nu'man, passing through Arafah, Wadi Urna, and the lower reaches of Mina, and it ends in Mecca. The people of Mecca received water from this canal for 1,200 years, and Muslim rulers continued repairing and maintaining it through the centuries until it eventually started to break up and was no longer used. In the year 1421 after Hijrah, Crown Prince Abdullah bin Abdul Aziz started producing to restore the canal so that it could be used once more. So yes, this is the Canal of Zubaydah, and the story goes something to the effect that she went on a journey of Hajj, and traveling from Baghdad to Mecca, she noticed when she reached Mecca that the scarcity of water was something really difficult upon the Hajjaj, because the prices for water was absolutely exorbitant. And on going back home, she got the most skilled people to do the job for her, the engineers to do the job for her. And when the entire canal was dug and running and everything was perfect, she called on everyone, paid everyone off, and then said, "Now, whoever owes me any money, I do not want that money back." And it was noted that she then tore up the, you know, the checks and balances and, you know, the books that she was keeping with all these amounts in, and threw it away and said that, "Now I have done this solely for the pleasure of Allah, and my reward that I await will be from Him." So, subhanAllah, this is the story of the Nahre Zubaydah, or the Canal of Zubaydah. Then we go on to the Mu'alla graveyard. This is one of Makkah's important historical sites, located in the valley east of Masjid al-Haram. Faqih, the historian, has stated that while no valley in Makkah faces the Qibla precisely, the valley in which the Mu'alla graveyard is located faces the Qibla to the finest degree. Several ahadith state the virtues of this graveyard, one being the narration in which Rasulullah ﷺ said about it, "What an excellent place is this graveyard." The grave of Ummul Mu'mineen, Sayyidatina Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu anha, is situated in this graveyard, as well as many other graves of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Tabi'een, and other saints. Besides this graveyard, there are also other historical graveyards in Makkatul Mukarramah. So that was the graveyard of Mu'alla, and as we know, this was one of the first places that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visited after his Fath Makkah, after having conquered Makkah. And subhanAllah, can we imagine what it must have been like for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to stand at the graveside, of this honorable consort of his? This was the lady, radiallahu anha, who, when the Prophet ﷺ came down, shivering from the cave of Hira, saying, "Zammiluni, dafiruni," you know, he was absolutely shaken and shocked. She was the one who came to his aid immediately and said, "What is it?" You know, comforted him, gave him this solace. And when he said that, "I'm an orphan," and, you know, he began lamenting on the fact that nobody was going to listen to him, even though he had this colossal task before him, he feared that, you know what, nobody was going to listen to him. And this is when she made the statement that, subhanAllah, has lasted, you know, for the annals of history, where she said that, "You be the first to call to this religion of Islam, and I will be the first to respond." And subhanAllah, our mother, Khadijatul Kubra, radiallahu anha, was not only the first that responded to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's call of becoming Muslim, but rather, she gave her wealth, she gave her health. In the valley of Abu Talib, they were banished, they were made to eat leaves. Her health deteriorated to such a degree that not long after that she passed away. But nevertheless, this is our mother Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu anha, who is buried in Mu'alla. And this is why when the Fath Makkah took place, the first place the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was seen going to was the graveside of Khadijatul Kubra. Can you only imagine the emotions that have been coming to the fore with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam standing there, and now, you know, going back in time, thinking about how it would have been had his wife only been around today to see this Fath Makkah, this great event where Islam had now come to the fore, and Islam and Makkah was now conquered by the Muslims, subhanAllah. So yes, that is the Jannatul Mu'alla. Next we speak about Sarif, the grave of Hazrat Maymuna radiallahu anha, another consort of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is in Sarif. Sarif is a place where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married Ummul Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Maymuna radiallahu anha too. And this was in the year 7 after Hijrah. And they stayed for a few days in this place. And it was also here that Maymuna radiallahu anha later passed away in the year 51 after Hijrah. And therefore, her grave is seen to be in this place. It lies on the right-hand side of the Hijrah road, 20 kilometers before entering Makkah. Yazid bin Aslam narrates that when Hazrat Maymuna radiallahu anha fell ill in Makkah, she had no relatives. She therefore told the people, "Take me outside Makkah, as I shall not be dying here in Makkah, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told me that I shall not die in Makkah." She was then taken to Sarif, beneath the tree where she married Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it was here where she breathed her last breath. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. She passed away and was then buried in this very spot. Yes, that is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wife, Maymuna radiallahu anha. It is mentioned she was the last of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wives to be married to him. And yes, this is the same Maymuna radiallahu anha who then passed away 54 years after the Hijrah. Well, my respected listeners, we've now come to the end of our virtual ziyarah. I hope you enjoyed that. Over the past 6 weeks, I was giving it to you in small little portions of various sights and sounds around Makkatul Mukarrama and Madinatul Munawwara that you can see and that you can look forward to seeing, inshallah, when you go for your trip on Umrah. Oh, inshallah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us for Hajj next year, then yes, indeed, these are places that we should try and visit, even if the actual places are not there anymore. But we should try and make a point of taking a taxi and asking them to take us to these various places, just so that we can see for ourselves where these places were and have a feel of what it must have been like back in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's now time for me to go for an ad break. When we return, inshallah, we continue with our female Masail segment of the program.
Kurbani with Crescent of Hope. Once again, Crescent of Hope brings you Kurbani at affordable prices locally and internationally. And trust us with your Nifl or Wajib Kurbani performed by Ulama and Crescent of Hope members. Excess funds will be utilized for Deen activities. Funds will not benefit any individual. Contact Crescent of Hope on 011-852-7370. 137 Rose Avenue, Lanesha. Crescent of Hope, serving humanity for the pleasure of Allah.
You don't have to go to India to experience exotic spices. Come to Mars Spice. We select the best. We clean the best. You get the best. Dana, Jiru, Garam Masala, Maschachas Mexican Manchurian Spices. Bring your daddy and your nanny to Mars Spice. Turn your cooking into a fine art. Come visit us at Mars Spice. 33 Concord Place, Lanesia. 011-854-3256. Behind Jamia Masjid.
Experience the intensity of Al-Quds, the vibrancy of Mecca, and the serenity of Medina. Book your space on Freeway Travels, exhilarating December 3 Haram package. Prices from only 20,950 Rand per person for sharing. Contact us now to reserve your seat on this limited space offer. Freeway Travel on Monday. It's a matter of choice. Call 011-661-0111 or 082-378-790.
Matul Awam Pilgrim Services. Call our Cape Town office on 021-633-8113. Khidmatul Awam, making Hajj and Umrah possible at affordable prices.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're into the final segment of the program, Covered Pearls, and this is Zakira and Sermia. Yes, this is the segment of the program in which we discuss all your female Masail queries. Today in particular, because of the various queries that have been coming in the week on the same subject, I've decided to leave the theme of the questions as Udhiyah and Qurbani. So if you have any queries and questions on that subject, please feel free to send me a message. The number is 061-406-2688, or you could simply drop me an email, za@radioislamlive.com. So the first one, before we actually go into the Udhiyah and Qurbani questions, is that on the shaving on the hair and the clipping of the nails. We have done this one last week, but I think a little bit of a reminder on it may be good, as a few sisters asking the same question. Yes, it is permissible to clip the nails and it is permissible to shave the hair. This is a mustahab act of not doing this. And it is a very meritorious act. But at the same time, for some sisters, they may be in a predicament where they may have been in the state of haze for a few days even before the 10 days set in. So in that case, now they feel that the nails are very long and, you know, for hygiene purposes, cooking, feeding the kids, etc., it may be a bit difficult. Or even, you know, the hair, pubic hair, underarm hair, it may be a bit too long and can become a bit irritable. So yes, if you feel you want to clip the nails or shave the hair and it's becoming too much, then indeed you can do this. It is not a haram act. But at the same time, if you are capable of leaving it, leaving the hair as is, leaving the nails as is, until it's just two more days left, then by all means complete this act as it is a mustahab one. The next question there being with regards to the fasting on the day of Eid. Now, I want you to listen to this, please, before you misunderstand what I'm saying. I know, even growing up as a child, this was the habit of my late father, rahimahullah, where they would not eat anything on the day of Eid until they had slaughtered the animal, and my mom would prepare a portion of the sheep, like the liver, you know, of the sheep, and that is when they would break their fast, the so-called fast, if I could call it that. The first thing that they would eat on the day of Qurbani would be with a portion of this animal. And yes, I did query this with Mufti Saab, and he did mention to me that it is a sunnah act. And alhamdulillah, I've noticed that even in the Al-Balagh, which is a online newsletter, they also mention that one of the sunnahs of the day of Eid is not to eat anything until you've slaughtered your animal and you've had a portion of it. From that animal. So yes, even in a hadith, it is mentioned that on the day of Eid, the Prophet ﷺ slaughtered more than 100 animals. And because he wanted to practice on this, he asked that a piece of each animal be placed into a pot, and a meal was then prepared, and he drank from its gravy and ate a little of its meat to try and make everyone happy that he had had of all the animals, right? Obviously, it would have been impossible for him to have eaten from each one of the 100-odd animals, so this is what he did. Now, by no means am I meaning that this is the only way that we need to do it. And obviously, if you know that your animal is going to be slaughtered, many farms have a queuing system, etc. And sometimes, because of the system, it may become a bit difficult, and you may only be slaughtering after lunch, or, you know, perhaps after asr. And staying hungry until that point may be quite difficult. So, by all means, you are allowed to eat, but as I'm saying, it is a sunnah act. And a good act. And as we know, most of the men, you know, often go out early in the morning to go and try and slaughter as quickly as possible for the very reason that the sunnah can be practiced upon. So alhamdulillah, if you are practicing on the sunnah, that is a great act. The next thing is about female slaughtering her sheep herself. Now we must remember there is a lot of merit in the lady, in the female, slaughtering her animal on her own. Subhanallah, may Allah reward you for the fact that most females are often, you know, become a bit scared when they see the blood and all of that. But if you're brave enough to go and slaughter your animal on the on your own, then mashallah, tabarakallah, this is great. But remember, let's keep a few things in mind. Basic principles that we have to remember. Firstly, you need to remember that you need to be skilled in this. So if you do not know how to do it properly, ensure that you get a mahram, a family member, to teach you beforehand so that you do not cause any harm and suffering to the animal, right? The next thing is that these animals pick up on our emotions. So we must not go there in the scared, petrified state of mind, and you know, you want to do it, but at the same time you're so scared because you're passing on these emotions onto the poor animal. Now, you don't want to do that, because the Prophet ﷺ has given us a whole list of things that we should not do to the animal. We should not, you know, allow it to lie in the blood of the animal previously slaughtered. We should not drag it. We should not bring it there and, you know, treat it harshly. We should try and give it some water, etc., etc. There are many narrations that teach us this. So the last thing we want to do is bring it there, and we ourselves are feeling all nervous and we're all shaky around it, and this animal these emotions are then passed on to this animal, and it's not a good state for this animal to be slaughtered in, right? So inshallah, if we want to slaughter our animal, let's go out there and do it inshallah with the right intention and the correct frame of mind that I am carrying out a sunnah of Khalilullah alayhi salatu wassalam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, and on these days of sacrifice, the Prophet has told us that the best act is spilling the blood of a sacrificial animal. So inshallah, we are following in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's now time for me to love you and leave you until we meet tomorrow. And tomorrow, inshallah, we're going to be having a special broadcast due to the Hajj broadcast commencing promptly early in the morning. So inshallah, I will see you from around 12:30 until 2. So until we meet tomorrow, to all my sisters that listen into the program attentively on a weekly basis and constantly send me your feedback, jazakallah khair, much appreciated. Until we meet next week, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.